Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is Side 2, For the Record, program number 722, the 9/11 Mosque Tea Party and its multiple Mad Hatters. This program is being recorded on August 21st of the year 2002. Once again, for background on this program and on the Muslim Brotherhood and 9/11 in general, please use the SpitfireList.com website. It is invaluable and essential for the understanding of the line of arguments presented on this program. Now, once again, the title of the broadcast, of course, the Tea Party phenomenon has become one of the major elements of the political landscape in this country in the last couple of years. The main reference is to the Boston Tea Party of the late 18th century. I think a much better one would be to the Tea Party of Lewis and Carroll and Alice in Wonderland and Through the Looking Glass, because indeed, this particular Tea Party, as well as the Tea Party in general, being stirred by some very malevolent Mad Hatters, no more in the end in control of their faculties, at least to ostensible to discernment, than the Mad Hatter of Lewis and Carroll. Actually, I think a lot of their leaders know full well what they're doing, but the people at the operation level in the Tea Parties don't. And there are a lot of Mad Hatters during this particular Tea Party, Mad Hatters on both the right and the left. And indeed, studying this increasingly vitriolic and depressing debate, it really indicates, I think, the moral and philosophical bankruptcy of American political intellectual culture in the early 21st century. Neither the right nor the left can get wrapped around this one. And indeed, one of the really bizarre and sick aspects of this Mad Hatter's Tea Party is that both the right and the left are not only in bed with each other, actually not that unusual in this country, given the CIA's long control of the so-called progressive sector, but that they're doing each other's agenda to a large extent. And I know that an awful lot of them don't really understand this. And if they both stood back and looked at each other, they would see a mirror. So there are multiple Mad Hatters for this particular Tea Party. And an awful lot of the Mad Hatters are Muslim Brotherhood / Saudi Mad Hatters, as well as Asian Muslim Brotherhood affiliates who have been involved with Faisal Abdul Rauf, the imam, the supposed moderate behind the, what has come to be known as the 9/11 Mosque. And if this is a moderate, I'd hate to see an extremist. The information we've been presenting so far and that we're going to be presenting for much of the rest of the program comes from an investigative report by Alyssa Lappin, the URL. She's a conservative, by the way. The URL will be on the description for the broadcast. And she has been noting that Faisal Abdul Rauf not only has a long-standing association with Muslim Brotherhood elements, but that he appears to be following an agenda established by his father, who is an associate of Hassan al-Banna. And he is also dissembling about his, quote, moderation, unquote. A good example of that is the following. This is overlapped ever so slightly with what we saw at the end, or what we heard at the end of Side 1. On December 9, 2007, Rauf said in Arabic to Sada Abdul Maqsood of the Hadi al-Islam website that current unjust governments do not follow Islamic laws, unquote. He advocates establishing Sharia in more ways than one through a kingdom or a democracy, so long as the fundamentals of Sharia exist, with the standards of Muslim scholars required to govern, to organize relationships between government and the governed, unquote. In March 2010, also in Arabic, Rauf stridently denounced interfaith discussions. Earlier, he embraced, ostensibly, interfaith dialogue, but as a great many of these supposed moderates who ostensibly embrace interfaith dialogue, when the microphones are off or when they don't think there's going to be a translation, they frequently sound a very different tune. Tariq Ramadan is one of those. He gives lip service to interfaith dialogue, but in reality, that is only to dress up implementations of Sharia. Continuing with Alyssa Lappin's paper about Faisal Abdul Rauf, in March 2010, also in Arabic, Rauf stridently denounced interfaith discussions. "I don't believe in interfaith dialogue," he said in an article that highlighted his statement in its headline. That from March of this year. Ralph's Manhattan ASMA offices at 475 Riverside Drive occupy the suite next door to the Council of American Islamic Relations, or CARE, of New York. Its national parent is the U.S. arm of the Muslim Brotherhood terrorist group Hamas and an unindicted co-conspirator in the 2008 Holy Land Foundation terror financing case in which the organization and five officers were convicted. At July 13, 2010, New York Landmark, at the July 13, 2010 New York Landmarks hearing on the fate of a 152-year-old wrought iron-era building where a piece of jet fuselage fell to its roof on 9/11, CARE New York Executive Director Zaid Ramadan supported destroying the structure opposite Ground Zero to build Ralph's 15-story mosque, a monument to Muslim victory, to tower above the memorial site. Ralph and his wife Daisy Khan in 2009. Now, this is an example of what passes for, quote, moderation. Ralph and his wife Daisy Khan in 2009 both refused to sign a freedom pledge to protect former Muslims from the death sentence sought by most Sharia interpretations for Muslim apostates. On October 20th, 2009, Former Muslims United asked ASMA's executives to pledge to, quote, renounce, repudiate, and oppose any physical intimidation or worldly and corporal punishment of apostates, however that punishment may be determined or carried out by myself or any other Muslim, including the apostate's family, community, mosque leaders, Sharia court or judge, and Muslim government or regime. By the way, in many Muslim countries, and indeed, there is a body of Islamic scripture to support this, if one wishes to interpret it that way. Those former Muslims who convert to another faith are sentenced to death. There was a famous case a few years ago in Afghanistan where a fellow who had converted to Christianity basically had to leave the country in order to avoid being killed. And when some former Muslims asked the quote, moderate Ralph and his wife to pledge to protect former Muslims against that sort of retaliation, they refused. And continuing with Alyssa Lappin's bullet points here, Ralph's 2000 and 2004 books both laud Sharia and envision implementing it in the U.S. and rejuvenating the Islamic spirit of the 14th century jurist Taqi al-Din Ahmad ibn Tamiyah and his 18th century heir Muhammad bin Abdul al-Wahhab. Ralph also lauds purported modernists, unquote, Jamal al-Din al-Afghani and Muhammad Abdu, who revered Wahhabis, Ibn Tamiyah, and like Ralph, pretended Sharia with perennial jihad and countless strictures on non-Muslims and women complements Western ideas like those in the U.S. Bill of Rights. Ralph also authorized two mainstream Muslim Brotherhood organizations, the International Institute of Islamic Thought and the Islamic Society of North America, to produce a, quote, special non-commercial edition, unquote, of his 2004 book to promote, quote, proper Western understanding of Islam, unquote. Ralph's ASMA in 2004 established the purportedly liberal Muslim leaders of tomorrow. Its liberal faces are largely overwhelmed by Sharia devotees like Al-Qaeda supporter Yasser Qadhi, CARE New York Community Affairs Director Faiza N. Ali, who co-authored CARE's fallacious denunciation, unquote, of a superb 2008 New York Police Department report on homegrown jihadists, and CARE New York community organizer Debbie Almontazer, who once ran the city's Khalil Gibran Academy. Since at least 2006, Ralph's U.S.-based Cordoba Initiative has partnered with Gallup Organization and, quote, Sunni and Shia scholars from Morocco to Indonesia to create, quote, an Islamic legal benchmark for measuring Islamicity of a state, Sharia Index, for official, state, public, and press use in the Muslim and Western worlds. He initiated the project, funded by Malaysia and many other nations in the 57-member organization of the Islamic Conference. A key Sharia Index board member, Jasser Auda, doubles on the Academic Council at the UK, the International Institute of Islamic Thought Office, and in summer 2010, taught with Muslim Brotherhood heavies, e.g. former ISNA leadership development head Lue Safi, IIT VP, and NAIT founding general manager Jamal Barzinji, and Minaret of Freedom head Imad ad-Din Ahmad, present at the Beirut Terrorist Convention in January of 2001. There's no mistaking their intent. And after the bullet point presentations of high points of Faisal Abdul Rauf's curriculum vitae, there is a sort of thumbnail bio here, professional bio. And it reads, Rauf attended grammar and high school in the United Kingdom and Malaysia, according to his biography. He probably arrived in America in 1965 at the age of 17 when his father moved to New York City from Malaysia to plan and head the Islamic Cultural Center on 96th Street, built in the mid-1980s. Rauf obtained a Bachelor's of Science in Physics at New York's Columbia University. In 1971, the family moved to Washington, D.C., where Rauf's father headed the Islamic Center, completed in 1957 on Massachusetts Avenue. His father, buried in Suitland, Maryland's for-profit Washington National Cemetery, also founded four Malaysian Islamic Studies programs, an Islamic college in Klang, the Islamic Studies Department at Malay University, an Islamic Studies School at the University of Malaya, and finally, International Islamic University of Malaysia. Rauf's key Sharia index pals also frequent Malaysia. Instructed by a mastered assembly, Faisal Abdul Rauf had long planned to further develop his father's U.S. Islamic expansionism. In 1990, Rauf opened the tiny Al-Fara Mosque at 245 West Broadway downtown. Area residents didn't notice it until 2006, when the New York State Liquor Authority, or SLA, suddenly refused to license a new bar on the block and began yanking others' liquor licenses, too. In Rauf's 2004 book, he stated, quote, American Constitution and system of governance uphold the core principles of Islamic law. The U.S. Constitution is Sharia compliant, and U.S., quote, political structure is Sharia compliant, unquote, since Muslim jurists over the centuries have defined, quote, five areas of life to be protected by Islamic law. Life, mind, religion, property, and family, which the Constitution and U.S. laws protect. Rauf thus seeks to seduce Americans into accepting Sharia on Islamic terms. This, too, explains Rauf's ties to Malaysia, a state with a heavy Sharia influence and Muslim Brotherhood presence that his father shaped. It has an official Department of Islamic Development, JAKIM, to promote, quote, advancement of Islamic affairs, unquote, formulate policies for the advancement of Islamic affairs in the country, and to safeguard the sanctity of the Aqidah and the teachings of Islam, unquote. Described in one Asian report as an Egyptian citizen living in the U.S., as journalist Alyssa Lappin observed in May of 2010, Rauf's assertions, like those of his father before him, quote, merely fulfill the Muslim Brotherhood doctrine of flexibility, adapting to each and every environment in which the brothers eventually hope to force Islamic law upon the masses. Rauf's claims starkly represent taqiyya, the Islamic practice of deception to further theocratic and essentially fascist Islamic advances. And the additional, quote, leeway, unquote, Rauf seeks for intra-community religious law enforcement is a thinly veiled attempt to impose Sharia more widely in the U.S. in direct contravention of the U.S. Constitution. Rauf's early U.K. education and familiarization with American values and popular culture made him an acutely adept practitioner of taqiyya. Indeed, Sharia inhibits all kinds of freedoms, especially for women and non-Muslims. Islamic law protects only the lives, minds, religion, property, and families of Muslims, not those of all peoples of all faiths, as Rauf pretends. And in the next section of Alyssa Lappin, she titles, I should say, the next section of her article, Furthering Islamic Gains. To further North American Islamic gains, Rauf in 1997 established the American Society for Muslim Advancement, or ASMA. His Kashmir-born interior designer wife, Daisy Khan, has run it since 2005. Khan's uncle, Farooq A. Khan, is a trustee at the Muslim Brotherhood's Islamic Society of North America, or ISNA, and ISNA's Islamic Medical Association of North America, or IMANA, subsidiary. In July of 2006, Farooq Khan gave the IMANA keynote in Beijing. He touted both of Rauf's books, which seek a clean, pure, Wahhabi brand of Sharia. Until at least 2006, Farrokh Khan also chaired Westbury's Islamic Center of Long Island, an affiliate of the Muslim Brotherhood Islamic Circle of North America, or ICNA. Rauf then cultivated new influence spheres. In about 2002, Rauf began lecturing on Islam at the 750-acre Southwestern New York Chautauqua Institution, or CI, a 136-year-old nonprofit. CI religion director Joan Brown Campbell took Rauf under her wing, under a convenient Abrahamic faiths rubric to cover Rauf's radical Islamic agenda. Campbell named him prospective head for a CI Muslim house planned by Rauf's new tax-free 501c3 organization, Muslim Friends of Chautauqua. He also befriended former British nun Karen Armstrong, a devotee of Islam who in 2002 promoted the Muslim Brotherhood as if the father of all Islamic terror groups was a progressive charity. She said, quote, "It set up a wonderful welfare program before it was suppressed. Factories where Muslims could work, had time for prayers, had vacation time, insurance, learned labor laws, provided clinics. They taught people how to treat sewage, drainage, and it was always the religion's response to try to help modernity, to give the ordinary people the benefits of modernity in an Islamic setting that made sense to them and made things more balanced," unquote. Simply put, that's a lie, period. That is a lot. That's not true. There are certain engineering projects and infrastructure projects that they've done, but that is not the history of the Muslim Brotherhood at all. That is, those are the views of Karen Armstrong. Continuing with Alyssa Lappin's essay. In 2003, Rauf allied with Denver's Aspen Institute leaders, including its former executive director and four-time Aspen mayor, John S. Bennett. In 2004, when Rauf established ASMA's Radical Muslim Leaders of Tomorrow, he and Bennett also co-founded Cordoba Initiative in Aspen, purportedly to improve, unquote, Muslim-West relations. Rauf gets funding from many liberal organizations, including Gloria Steinem's Ms. Foundation. Parenthetically, as we saw in a miscellaneous archive show, Gloria in Excelsis, Steinem herself has a long background in intelligence, CIA in particular, and among the sources for that are two interviews Steinem herself gave to the Washington Post and New York Times, respectively, in 1967, in which she touted her professional association with CIA as an endorsement of her journalistic credentials. Continuing. The Carnegie Corporation, under Iranian Muslim immigrant Vartan Gregorian, in 2008 gave $300,000 to ASMA and $800,000 to AI for Islamic understanding, unquote. Even in English, however, Rauf has often contradicted his conciliatory pretense, quote, "The Islamic method of waging war is not to kill innocent civilians," Rauf told the Sydney Morning Herald in March of 2004. He added that terrorism will only end when the West acknowledges the harm it has done to Muslims. It was Christians in World War II who bombed civilians in Dresden and Hiroshima, neither of which were military targets. But the West, that's a quote from Rauf, but the West's strictly defensive World War II role invoked no religion. And Rauf ignores continuous 7th through 16th century Islamic attacks on non-Muslim peoples throughout the Mideast, Africa, Europe, Central Asia, and India. And Daisy Khan glossed Rauf's insults in a 2009 Fox interview. While he frequently insults the West and the U.S., however, true to Muslim Brotherhood form, Rauf also happily expands his Islamic outreach at U.S. government and taxpayers' expense. Since ASMA registered itself with the IRS as a church, it thus acquired doubly beneficial tax-exempt status in that churches need not file annual 990 tax forms ordinarily required for nonprofit groups. Worse, both Rauf and his wife, since at least January of 2009, have worked for the U.S. State Department, which has also funded at least one radical ASMA Muslim Leaders of Tomorrow meeting. Now, this, by the way, parenthetically here, do bear in mind that Alyssa Lappin, although she's done some great work as a conservative, and in fact, the Bush administration had employed Rauf as an advocate of moderate Islam. There's a post about that in the food food for thought / news and supplemental section of the SpitfireList.com website. But that began under the State Department and CIA under George W. Bush. And indeed, neither Ms. Lappin nor other conservative commentators, by and large, even mentioned Grover Norquist, Karl Rove, the Islamic Institute, Talat Atman, or the State Department and CIA's embracement and use of the Muslim Brotherhood in the latter part of this decade, thus repeating in stunning fashion a pattern that we've seen throughout the decade since World War II of various fascist organizations being employed as proxy elements by Western intelligence, including state and CIA. And by the way, that initiative, that inertia has continued into the Obama administration in a series of programs called Bad Jacketing Obama. I noted that Obama's milieu was inextricably linked with some of these GOP-connected Muslim Brotherhood elements, some of those same elements also connected to Democrats, and wondered to what extent Barack Obama was being subjected to deep bad jacketing, so to speak, the setting up for deep discrediting. One of the personages who looms large in the setting up of the GOP's Muslim outreach apparatus was Karl Rove. His specialty is bad jacketing, and Rove was linked to that milieu that Obama was part of in Chicago. One can but wonder, is this part of that same bad jacketing? But do note that neither Alyssa Lappin, at least here, or the other conservative commentators who have correctly identified Rauf and company as anything but moderates and, in fact, Muslim Brotherhood catspaws. They don't talk about the same links running to GOP or to the Disney operation, News Corp, and others, and we'll talk about that time permitting. There are posts about that on the SpitfireList.com website. Beginning again with this paragraph. Worse, both Rauf and his wife, since at least January of 2009, have worked for the U.S. State Department, which has also funded at least one radical ASMA Muslim Leaders of Tomorrow meeting. In August of 2010, news broke that the State Department had hired them both as envoys to the Islamic world. Rauf was then already in Malaysia and planned to remain abroad until completing a State Department-funded Middle East tour with stops in Saudi Arabia, Dubai, Abu Dhabi, Bahrain, and Qatar. Despite White House and State Department denials, moreover, London's Arshak Al-Wasat reported in Arabic that Rauf might use the U.S.-funded travel to raise money for his Ground Zero mosque. Indeed, Saudi Arabia founded the Organization of Islamic Conference in 1969 to promote the struggle for Islam, unquote, and served as its chief sponsor since. The OIC charter includes all Muslim Brotherhood principles foremost to spread Sharia worldwide. Headquarters remain in Jeddah pending liberation of Jerusalem, unquote. In 1973, the OIC established the Islamic Development Bank, or IDB, according to the Islamic Sharia principles, unquote, and thus launched the petrodollar-based Islamic financing market to stealthily spread Islam and Sharia worldwide. Quote, an Islamic organization must serve God and ultimately sustain the growth and advancement of the Islamic way of life, unquote, writes Nasser M. Suleiman in Corporate Governance in Islamic Banking, unquote. Obviously, with Sharia principles in mind, 46 OIC member states secretly funded the 1984 construction Rauf's father orchestrated for New York's Islamic Center. Like his father, Rauf may also get major Saudi funding. In February 2001, the IDB established the U.S. dollar-denominated Aukuf Properties Investment Fund, or APIF, to, quote, develop and invest in accordance with Islamic Sharia principles in Afaq real estate properties in IDB member countries and Islamic communities in non-member countries, unquote. Financing applications go, where else, to Saudi Arabia, which has worked tirelessly for decades to advance Islamic communities in non-Muslim nations, predominantly the United States. The Muslim Brotherhood seeks to replace the U.S. Constitution with Islamic law or Sharia and impose Islam and Sharia law worldwide. Most North American Muslim Brotherhood organizations, including Rauf's, avoid widely publicizing their aim, but the Herald Tribune at a July 2009 suburban Chicago Khalifa conference, at a July 2009 suburban Chicago Khalifa conference, openly promised to replace capitalism with Islam and Sharia. Ralph's December 2009 appearance with HT in Kuala Lumpur is not surprising given his early and often stated desire for a wholesale shift to Sharia law by any means. By the way, HT, not International Herald Tribune, but Hizb ut-Tahrir. She's reciting the earlier reference. Alyssa Lappin concludes her essay by pointing out what could be the real meaning of Cordoba Institute is, in her opinion, and I think merits consideration. For those knowledgeable in Islamic history, the name of Ralph's Cordoba Institute telegraphs his deceptiveness. Cordoba, also the name for Chautauqua's proposed new Muslim house, ruled the Islamic Caliphate for most of Spain from Tariq ibn Zayd's 711 invasion through 1248. Cordoba controlled some Spanish regions until their full liberation in 1492. Neither the Umayyads, who ruled monolithically until about 1031, nor the vicious Almoravids, who swept over the Atlas Mountains into Spain in 1080, ruled non-Muslims so kindly. Islamic harshness varied but remained ever-present. Ralph blatantly whitewashes the brutal Islamic history in Spain. While others also purvey this historical falsehood, Muslim rule in Spain never remotely approached the mythic beneficence Ralph pretends. Muslims have traditionally destroyed the worship houses of virtually every other faith. Islam plundered tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of Christian churches and monasteries, synagogues, and holy Jewish archaeological sites, Hindu, Buddhist, Zoroastrian, Sikh, and other temples and retreats. To advance jihad, Islam then claimed them all as mosques, unquote, forever Muslim. That's what Ralph really wants at Ground Zero, to proclaim Islamic victory. Well, Alyssa Lappin has done a very good job researching Ralph, but we don't hear from her or from the other conservative commentators discussion again of Karl Rove, Grover Norquist, the Islamic Institute, or what the Wall Street Journal, hardly part of the liberal news media, talked about April 18th of 2002, which was Talat Otman interceding on behalf of the institutions and individuals targeted by the Operation Green Quest raids. That, by the way, an outgrowth of Grover Norquist's Islamic Institute. And there's a Talking Points memo post, GOP Muslims fear failure of Bush outreach efforts after anti-mosque furor. And the center of this comes from the very same Grover Norquist. Also from News Corp's number 2 shareholder-funded terror mosque planner on the Yahoo.com website. Indeed, as none other than Rupert Murdoch's New York Post reported last May, the Kingdom Foundation, Prince Al-Walid's personal charity, has donated a total of $305,000 to Muslim Leaders of Tomorrow, a leadership and network project sponsored jointly by two of Ralph's organizations, the American Society for Muslim Advancement and the Cordoba Initiative. Al-Walid, the second largest stockholder in News Corp. Al-Walid also deeply involved with, now AOL, Time Warner are two separate countries. Al-Walid, also deeply involved with Disney as well as many other corporations. One of the reasons why we're seeing this kind of whitewashing is why the major corporate backing for Hitler and Mussolini doesn't get talked about either, because these are the people who are running things today. So, again, a huge political schizophrenia manifesting itself on the American political landscape, and the 9/11 mosque tea party being part of that. This, however, concludes side two of For the Record program number 722, the 9/11 mosque tea party and its multiple mad hatters. This program is being recorded on August 21st of 2010. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.